Isaiah prophesied, "The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel means God with us. This child would be God incarnate. The wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Yet centuries pass by. Prophets come and prophets go, but not the prophet. And then 400 years with no prophetic word from God at all, absolute silence from heaven. But then, in the fullness of time, some 700 years after Isaiah's prophecy, when everything on earth and in heaven was just right, Jesus is born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem, the city of David. And the announcement of this extraordinary birth is made not to Augustus, the emperor of Rome, not to King Herod of Jerusalem, and surprisingly, not even to the chief priests of the elders of Israel. Instead, this announcement is made to a group of shepherds. Shepherds who are out in the hill country around Bethlehem, watching over their flocks. And this announcement of the birth of the King is made by heavenly angels to poor, humble shepherds. This probably shouldn't really surprise us. Shepherds throughout Scripture seem to have a special place with God. Abel was a shepherd, and the Scripture tells us that he found favor with God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all shepherds. Moses was out in the wilderness shepherding sheep when God spoke to him from the burning bush and called him to serve him and deliver Israel from bondage. David, young David, was tending his flock out in the hill country around Bethlehem when he was called to be king of Israel. And it is David who rejoiced that the Lord is my shepherd. Indeed, Jesus gave himself the title of the Good Shepherd. So Peter calls him the Chief Shepherd, and Hebrews refers to the Great Shepherd of the sheep. So how appropriate, how fitting it is that the announcement of the birth of the shepherd should be made to a band of Bethlehem shepherds. Verse 9 says, "Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were greatly afraid." We're told that it's night. Picture the shepherds gathered perhaps around their fires, preparing a meal, getting ready for their evening duties. Everything was ordinary. Everything was just like the day before and the day before that. The concern was routine activity, that of protecting their flock from the predators that would try to take advantage of the darkness. When suddenly God broke into their lives, the darkness is pierced by the glory of heaven. The peace and the quiet of the night was shattered by an angel. Very possibly it was Gabriel. Gabriel, who had appeared to Zacharias and later to Mary to announce the good news of Messiah. We're told that there is a spectacular glory that engulfed the shepherds. And these rugged outdoorsmen were filled with fear. Quite literally, it says they feared with great fear. They were scared by a phenomena they had never experienced or seen before in their lives. The glory that the shepherds saw was spectacular and it was shocking. And it brought fear to their hearts. And yet, it's interesting to note, this is simply a reflective glory of God. Remember Moses when he came down from Mount Sinai? Just from being with God, came back and his face glowed so much he had to put a veil over his head. Can you imagine how the glory of God himself would impact you? When Isaiah the prophet only had a vision of God's glory, he feared for his life, and his response was, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." The holiness and the glory of God was overwhelming. Someday, every one of us will have to stand before a glorious God. A God of overwhelming glory and holiness. He is, the scripture tells us, a consuming fire. And we will have to stand before him and give an account for our lives. But this angel did not bring a message of judgment. He did not come with a message of condemnation to these poor shepherds. Rather, he brought a message of good news. And his first words to them are, "Fear not. Fear not." Because he says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." That is what the coming of Jesus Christ to earth is. It is good news. It is tidings of great joy. You know, the world's joy is small and trivial, centered on trinkets that are soon thrown away, pleasures that are soon forgotten. But the joy of the gospel of Christ is great. It's eternal. It's a lasting joy that rings down throughout the ages. And the cause of that joy, the angel says, is the incarnation. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And that long wait by the righteous for the promised Messiah, the prophet who would come, was over. And no doubt the humble shepherds were among those, as were Simeon and Anna and others. To all those longing for the Messiah, for the righteous one to come, the announcement of the birth of a Savior was not just good news. It was great news. It was cause for joy. The carol puts it, "Joy to the world. The Lord is come." And the hope of the centuries is fulfilled. The prophet Jeremiah's righteous branch of David is come. Isaiah's root of Jesse is here. David's King of glory is revealed. Haggai's desire of all nations is manifested. Zechariah's servant The branch who shall rule is born. That promised seed of the woman who will crush the serpent's head, Genesis 3:15, is born of Mary in the city of David and is lying in a manger. Not in Jerusalem, but in Bethlehem. Not in a palace, but in a stable. Yes, good tidings of great joy. A Savior is born. In the Old Testament, we see God coming to earth in various times in judgment. You recall after the fall, after Adam and Eve sinned, God judged them and cast them out of the Garden of Eden. And then, years later, the world in rebellion against God was so bad that God came in judgment again through a worldwide flood. You see God in judgment at Sodom and Gomorrah. Later, the city of David, Jerusalem, in 486 is judged and destroyed. There is a time when God comes in judgment. But the angel says this is not the time. Jesus will come again someday. It's called the second advent, the second coming. And he will come in power and glory. He'll come with an army of angels, and he will come to judge the nations. But now, the first advent, God has come to earth not to bring judgment, but to bring salvation. Jesus expressed it this way. He had not come to judge, but to save. Savior simply means deliverer, redeemer. In Luke 1, verse 31, the angel Gabriel informed Mary of the coming child and said, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Jesus is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew name Joshua. And they both mean Jehovah is Savior. Later, Gabriel told Joseph that he was to name the newborn child of Mary, Jesus, because the angel said, "He shall save his people from their sins." This indeed is good news. It's cause for rejoicing because we need a Savior. We need a Savior. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The condition of mankind since the fall has continually been that of sinfulness and rebellion against a holy God, our Creator, our rightful Master and ruler and Lord. We have all sinned. We have willfully violated the commandments of our God. We have, as the psalmist puts it, taken counsel together against him and rejected his authority. Cause for joy, cause for rejoicing is the good news that a Redeemer, a Savior is born. This child who was laid upon a wooden manger as an infant, as an adult, would be nailed upon a wooden cross. And there he did the work of salvation, dying for his people and purchasing our redemption with his very life. Indeed, saving his people from their sin. And this Savior that is born is God Himself, Christ the Lord, the angel says. In fact, in Luke 1:47, we have Mary's words, "My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." Paul expresses this truth in anticipating Christ's second coming in Titus 2:13. looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This child born of Mary, heralded by the angels, worshipped by the wise men, is the Son of God. He is the promised Messiah, the prophet of the Old Testament, the Lord of glory, Jesus, the Savior of sinners. And this Savior is none other than Christ of God. Christ, the New Testament word for the Old Testament word Messiah. And both mean anointed one. In the Old Testament, you will recall that the priests were anointed with oil to their office. In fact, the psalmist talks about the oil flowing down on Aaron's beard and then on his robes. The prophets were anointed of God to be his spokesman. Kings were anointed to their office and called of the Lord to be his servants. In fact, referred to as the anointed of the Lord. But the anointed one, Messiah, Christ, was understood as a designation of the great deliverer, the seed of a woman, the one who had been promised by God through the prophets. For Jesus was not a self-appointed Savior. He was chosen, ordained, anointed by the Father himself to be an eternal priest and prophet and king who would truly say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me." The Father authorized and sent Jesus Christ to save sinners. Jesus himself said he did not come to do his own will, but the work of the Father who sent me. And this anointed Savior, Jesus Christ, is able to save, the scripture says, to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. The angel says that this child who is born, this Savior who has come, is the Lord himself. The word Lord is used in both Greek Old Testament and the New Testament for Jehovah, the Lord God of Israel. As Isaiah announces, the coming Messiah would be the eternal Father, the mighty God. And God himself sends his angels as messengers. And he manifests his glory to announce the birth of Jesus, the Lord of glory. This is the answer to how Jesus can save sinners. We do not look to a baby in a manger for salvation, but to the Lord of glory who became flesh and dwelt among us. The eternal God, through the virgin birth, took on humanity so that as our kinsman, he might redeem us. This child that is born is Christ the Lord. He is Jesus, who is true God and true man. As we read earlier in the Nicene Creed, he is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made. A child is born. A son is given. If the angel Gabriel himself, with all of his glory and all of his power, should try to redeem us, he could not do so. He could not have borne the load of just my sin, let alone the sin and punishment of all of God's people. But if the infinite Almighty God himself, the Lord of glory, would come and undertake our salvation, The load of my guilt and the sin of all of God's people over all of time could be placed upon Him. And such a Savior could achieve our salvation. He could bear all of our guilt and pay the price for our sin. And just such a Savior was born in the city of David. Christ the Lord. Is He your Savior? Is He your Lord this morning? The world does not know what it is celebrating at Christmas time. Even as it sings the carols containing immense biblical truth, it holds on to the symbols of the Christmas story, but there's no understanding. There's no real comprehension of the reason and the purpose and the joy of Christmas. The God of creation became one of us. Christ, the Lord of glory, has taken on humanity. A Savior is born. The eternal Word was made flesh. So the world has a false and an empty joy. A joy that comes from temporary things. And so it awakens in the morning, still with an aching emptiness, not knowing that there is cause for genuine joy, not in things, not in gifts or special foods, none of which are wrong in themselves. But the real joy comes in a Redeemer who is born. We're told that the shepherds hurriedly went to Bethlehem. They were eager to see what the angels had announced. And notice their response in chapter 2, verse 17 and verse 20. Now when they had seen Him, that is Christ in the manger, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. These shepherds were filled with joy and filled with praise to God because of what God had done in Christ Jesus. And they shared that good news. The news of a coming of a Savior to those around them. May you be filled with true and lasting joy as well. Filled with a joyful worship for the God of your salvation because of all that He has accomplished in you through Christ. And may you, with the shepherds, joyfully proclaim to others the good news of a Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord, who has come to save sinners. Shall we pray?